Hour number two of Bullseye on the afternoon on AM 930 WEOL. Happy to have you along for the ride. Andy Bullbarch and Matt Douglas with you up until 6 o'clock this evening. Hey, if you missed our interview with Lisa Roberson of the Chronicle-Telegram, well, don't you worry, because we archive all of these interviews with Lisa Roberson from the Chronicle-Telegram. And if you go to that page, you'll notice it's sponsored by Vandermark Jewelers. Jim Vandermark and the fine folks at Vandermark Jewelers. Boy, we got a chance to talk to Jim last week when we were down at Foundry for the Spotlight in Elyria.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of fun, man. Jim's got some great stories.
Yeah, some really good stories, especially about his history here in Elyria. Just fun hearing him talk about it. And two, I mean, the thrill he gets in everything he does over there. Great guy to go see.
Absolutely. It was fun to make some radio gold with Jim Vandermark last week, and now it's time to make more radio gold with our good buddy, Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus. Dunny, how are you, my man?
I'm doing good, guys. Man, Andy, you're getting better and better at those transitions. You really are.
I hope so. Many, many moons ago, when you and I used to work together on the TV and radio side of things at Bowling Green, transitions were never my strength, but slowly yet surely, I am getting there, my man, slowly yet surely.
Absolutely. You're making your mark, that's for sure.
Well, speaking of making a mark, Ohio State's 38-7 win over Army certainly left a mark. Nearly
Absolutely.
600 yards of total offense for the Buckeyes. But people still don't really seem to be happy. Why do you think that is? I mean, I guess, are people still mad at that loss last week to Oklahoma? I talked to people, and it just seems like they're not pleased with that 38-7 win.
I think whenever somebody comes in here, like an Army or, like, for instance, this weekend against UNLV, everyone expects it to be Ohio State 100 and the opposing team 0. They don't have any yards rushing, any yards passing. Ohio State has over 1,000 yards everything. And it's not realistic. The opposing teams are turning hard as well against to play the Buckeyes. My biggest thing is that, Army, for instance, plays a totally different offense than Ohio State. The last time they saw it was 2014. So it's not like they practice it every year. They actually went. They actually practiced about 700 snaps against that offense or that type of offense in practice throughout the off season during training camp and obviously during this week leading up to this past game. And Army still went on an 18 play. 99-yard drive that ended in a touchdown. It is a very tough offense to figure out. The Buckeyes did it. They only allowed one touchdown. You should be happy. Buckeyes put up 38 points. They won the game. Be happy and move on to UNLV.
I would agree with that. And I think you should also be pleased if you're a Buckeye fan with the performance of J.K. Dobbins, not just this past week, but all throughout the season. His numbers were just unreal. He only carried the ball 13 times, but he had 172 yards. He also found pay dirt a couple of times. Would you agree that he's been the most exciting player on either side of the ball so far?
Absolutely. He's definitely been the most exciting player for the Ohio State Buckeyes, and somebody that really nobody expected to see, because remember, he's playing in front of Mike Weber, who's still nursing a hamstring injury. Mike Weber, who had 1,000 yards last season as a freshman. Right now, J.K. Dobbins, he's looking like he may be able to match that. Named co-freshman of the week in the Big Ten for the second time this year. He was very explosive, had a 52-yard touchdown run. And not only that, but his pass blocking is getting better and better against some good competition. So that's really good to see, especially in an Urban Meyer offense.
On the defensive side of the ball, Sean, what are some of the things you learned from the Ohio State defense? I mean, taking on what's a non-traditional offense, an Army that really doesn't throw the ball much.
I learned the name Tuff Borland.
Yeah, that's
Tuff
a good one.
Tuff Borland, he came in for an injured Chris Worley, the middle linebacker. Got a little dinged up, I believe a high ankle sprain. He's questionable as of yesterday going into the UNLV game. On the official depth chart just released by Ohio State, it says Chris Worley or Tuff Borland. Tuff Borland's a freshman, 6'1", 230. He led the team in tackles with around 10 tackles against Army. He played very well, and the more the game went on, the more comfortable he got. And you could tell his teammates got more and more comfortable with him being the quarterback of that defense.
You name your kid Tough. He sort of has to be a linebacker, doesn't he?
You know, I can't think of a better name, a better position for a kid named Tough.
Yeah, it could be tough to keep him off the field, no question about that. Again, we're talking with Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus, talking about the Buckeyes and their victory over Army last week. Well, in that victory, too, JT Barrett, a nice efficient game, completed 25 of 33 passes for 270 yards, also threw a couple of touchdown passes. He was effective with his legs as well. A solid game from him. How has he handled all of this early season criticism?
Well, he handles it like JT Barrett handles it. You gotta remember, he's been doing this since 2014 when he took over a team when Braxton Miller got injured, you know, 2 weeks into training camp. This has been his spot all throughout that year. Then he gets injured, comes back, competes with Cardale Jones, doesn't get the job right away, gets the job midseason. He's handled it like JT Barrett can handle it, which is very, very professional, very easy. You can definitely tell why people follow him on the team. Just has this leadership quality about him that you can tell that his teammates just want to go to bat for him. And they do. They love him at Ohio State. They don't do this often, but JT Barrett got the game ball after the game against Army because with the three touchdowns he scored, he passed Drew Brees for a Big Ten record, 107 touchdowns responsible for his career. And he's almost three games into his senior year. So he's got a lot more touchdowns he's going to score. I don't know if anybody's going to be able to break this thing once he's done with it.
Yeah, and boy, that's a great point. I mean, over 100 touchdowns responsible for. That really is pretty impressive. And obviously he's an exclusive company right now, no question about that.
Well, absolutely.
Let's transition into this weekend's game against UNLV. What mm-hmm. makes this interesting, Dunny, is that they're playing at noon on Saturday. Now, to most college football fans, that's no big deal because they're used to seeing their team play at noon on Saturday. But that's not the case with Ohio State. This is pretty rare for the Buckeyes. You think this could have any kind of effect because they're used to playing much, much later in the day?
No, I don't think this will have really any effect on them. In fact, it might help them out a little bit. They don't have to go through the motions of having to wait and wait and wait for an 8 o'clock game or a 7:30 game. They can wake up, wake up from the Blackwell, go to the Skull Session at St. John Arena, walk across the stadium, and then go play a game. They don't have to sit around in their hotel rooms or go through walkthroughs early in the day and think about everything. They just wake up, go out, play football, and hopefully be ringing that victory bell after a Buckeye victory over the Rebels.
Sean Dunnigan of WBNS-TV in Columbus joining us here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. What are the Buckeyes saying about UNLV? What kinds of challenges do the Rebels present for the Buckeyes on Saturday?
They have a decent quarterback in Armani Rogers, and their running back, Lexington Thomas, has some wheels. He is very quick. Yes, you know, obviously people know about UNLV's loss to Howard in the first week of the season. People are saying that's one of the biggest upsets ever. In college football, when you look at the point spread, they were 43-point favorites, and they lost, I believe, 43-40 to Howard. They come back the very next week, and they beat Idaho. Idaho, who I believe won a bowl game last year, but they're transitioning back to FCS after this season. They beat them 44-14. So you don't know which really UNLV Rebel team you're going to get, but you look out for Lexington Thomas. He's my guy to pinpoint the running back for UNLV. He's got some wheels on him. I saw him run a 90-yard touchdown run, just through a hole in the defense, and nobody was even close. No one was even close to catching him from the Idaho Vandals.
Now, you brought up the loss to Howard at the beginning of the season, but folks should still look at that. They scored 40 points in that game. They scored 40 points against Idaho. So this obviously, the offense is sort of how this running Rebels team, dare I say, runs.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, yeah, Matt Douglas isn't a pun guy either, and he just dropped a big one.
I think Lexington Thomas, they're a 1-2 punch right there in the backfield with Thomas and Armani Rogers. The Buckeye defense, I think that the cornerbacks will definitely get tested early, tested often. But they got to bounce back and do their thing like they did mainly in the second half against Indiana.
Donnie, what's your final prediction? I know we're coming to you a lot earlier in the week than we normally do, so you've only had a couple days to digest Army and get ready for UNLV. But if we're to ask you, still a few days out from game day, what would you say your prediction for Saturday's game?
I would, let's see, Tuesday, 4 o'clock, about 4:24. I'm going to go about 56-10 Buckeyes with the victory in the Ohio Stadium.
I think that's fairly accurate. I don't really give UNLV much of a chance in this. I mean, last week we talked about it. I kind of thought, you know what, that's an offense they don't see very often and probably won't see again for a while. And that's the kind of offense you can practice against so many times and sometimes still not get it. You just mentioned it. There was a drive where they were on the field for a while, double-digit plays in that drive. With UNLV, I just don't think there's a whole lot of guesswork here. They just don't have the dogs in the fight. So I would go somewhere along the same lines also. I don't see Matt going a different direction here either. I think he's just kind of nodding and kind of agreeing, right?
Well, I think for the most part, I mean, obviously they're a team that can score touchdowns. They've put 40 up in their first two games. Maybe they score a few more than 10, but I don't think it's close. Their defense obviously can't slow down Howard. I mean, they're not playing against Howard this weekend. They're playing against the Buckeyes. So I think this is a great game for the offense to gain even more confidence, especially in that pass game with JT Barrett.
Absolutely. Two little nuggets I found that I found interesting. UNLV's head coach, Tony Sanchez, was Tate Martell's coach his sophomore season in high school, at Bishop Gorman High School right there in Las Vegas. And something I did not realize until looking over the game notes, this is a battle of the Scarlet and Gray. UNLV's official colors are Scarlet and Gray, no difference in spelling, no difference in anything like that. It's Scarlet and Gray for Scarlet and Gray.
Maybe I'm crazy. Didn't Sanchez come straight out of Bishop Gorman? He didn't do any time college-wise, did he? I thought he came straight out.
I believe he just came out of college, and they were very impressed with what he did over at Bishop Gorman. And, he'll be looking to get that rolling there with the Rebels.
Sure.
Donnie, you do more than just cover the Buckeyes. I know you guys have a lot of big high school football matchups on your slate for Friday. Who are you covering on Friday night?
Our big matchup this week will be Olin Tangi Liberty 3-1 against 3-1 Pickerington North. Pickerington North, they played a very good game, beating Westfield Central 42-3. I was at that game. I saw a punt block and a field goal block in the first 5 minutes from the from Pickerington North. I was very impressed with their special teams, let alone their offense. Nolan Tangent Liberty off of a big win over Hilliard Davidson, 17-10. It should be a very good battle on Friday night between those two teams.
Wow. Holy cow. See, we thought we saw something rare with one guy, a non-quarterback, scoring six touchdowns.
Yeah.
Wow. Very cool stuff, Donnie. Always a pleasure, my friend. We look forward to doing it again next week.
Yes, sir. You guys have a good one. Talk to you next week.
You got it.